Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay. We finally made it this week. Looks like things are finally looking up here. Last week, for some reason, I got in here and started to do the show, and this is the way I want to start the Today Show, with an explanation. Last week, I was in the studio getting set up for the show, recording last-minute audio clips and setting up for the studio for the stuff I was going to do, and then I tried to set the computer up to use my microphone and get ready to air. I clicked on the button to test my mic so I could see if it was working, and everything stopped working. It was minutes before the show was scheduled to begin, and I couldn't get anything to work again, so I went in and rescheduled the show for this week. So that's essentially what happened that last week when I tried to get the microphone to work, which is the only way to do my show right now, because my phone service doesn't work well out here where I live. Right now it's showing absolutely no service. I've got Wi-Fi, but no service at all. So hopefully my microphone is working well. It sounded good on the test, and I was actually able to get the test to work this time. Last week, that was the problem. I couldn't get the test to work, and I couldn't get it to even start up. So, and when I tried to sign in and go in as the host of the show, it wouldn't even let me do that. So I reluctantly rescheduled the show and never did figure out what happened and why I wasn't able to get my mic to work. But I also tried clicking the button to start the show, like I said, and it didn't do anything either. So radio gods were not willing, even though I was, and I had to reschedule. I'm in the process of setting up a new phone company with myself right now with a new company. I'm looking at Patriot Mobile, which is the one I'm looking at. It will give me the good signal here that my phone company at the time does not. So that is what I'm working on here to make this show better than it has been, and hopefully better than it will be for a while. But I'm here this week, and we hope you are here ready to enjoy the show. The chat room is open. Believe it or not, I'm really just up and going this week, and we are ready to hope that you are ready to hear to enjoy a good show. This is the new Wise Conservatism Radio Show, or NWCR as I've been calling it, and I'm your host, Robert the Infidel Guarding, with today's show. Glad you are here with us, and this is the 24th of June in the year of our Lord 2018, and now on with the show.
Roger that. News sources that there is serious talk of Antifa having a nationwide protest slash riot. It was like November 4th or 3rd.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Guarding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the Doctor of this Republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Okay, we are back. The call-in number to be on the show is 646-478-5284. And if you wish to join the conversation today, last week we lost a great voice of conservatism, Dr. Charles Krauthammer. He was 68 years young and lost his battle with cancer. He will be missed. But in the newspapers, there was a different sort of somber approach to his death. The Washington Post, for one, and this is where I found this article I found this article in my email, Writ Conservative Tribune. The title of it said most of it all, but I will read the article anyway. The title of it said, Washington Post under fire for sickening first line of Krauthammer's obituary. One of the great conservative thinkers of our time has passed away. But in a classless move, the Washington Post couldn't help itself from trying to smear his legacy by hitting below the belt in its obituary. Dr. Charles Krauthammer passed away on Thursday after a struggle against cancer. It wasn't the only medical issue the Harvard education psychiatrist faced with bravery in class. A quadriplegic since his early 20s, Krauthammer refused to let a wheelchair define him and insisted on being judged by the same standards as his peers. And that sounds like, he was a very good man, and he didn't want to be judged on the same standards as everyone else, with his handicap being in a wheelchair. He didn't want that to be part of his legacy. And the thing that was interesting about this whole thing was that for a long, long time, I followed him and I listened to his news and the way that he reported, the way that he was filmed. I never knew he was in a wheelchair. I never knew that he was handicapped in any way. So, I am one person who followed him and didn't know he was handicapped and didn't really even care. But to the Washington Post, it apparently means trashing the widely respected individual in the opening line of his tribute, somewhat bizarrely calling the soft-spoken man of thought a provocateur. The newspaper desperately tried to blame the invasion of Iraq on Krauthammer in their obituary, which was something that, I don't know. When it comes to the media and the things that they do, that just drives me insane, the things that they will do to somebody who doesn't believe as they do. But in their opening thing, they said, Charles Krauthammer, a Pulitzer Prize-winning Washington Post columnist and intellectual provocateur who championed the muscular foreign policy of neoconservatism that helped lay the ideological groundwork for the 2003 U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, died June 21st at 68, Adam Bernstein wrote for the Post. That's a strange and almost certainly purposeful slight against the doctor, who became a well-known voice for reason on Fox News, as well as numerous other television news outlets. Distilling Krauthammer's decades of respected insight on national politics into a cheap shot about the Bush-led war in Iraq is classless at best and terribly dishonest at worst. the doctor turned commentator, wrote opinions on nearly every national topic since the 1980s and earned a coveted Pulitzer in 1987. It's true that he was an early proponent of the action in Iraq, but so was almost everyone who received intelligence briefings on the alleged possession of weapons of mass destruction by Saddam Hussein, including America's international partners in Europe. The United Nations officially supported holding Iraq responsible for its abuses. A vote in the U.S. Senate showed that a bipartisan majority of both Republicans and Democrats supported the Iraq resolution, and that also included Barack Obama and several of the other ones who have come down, who came down on Bush for this whole thing. But if Krauthammer made a mistake in his support of that war, so did some of the most well-known leaders of both parties, including Hillary Clinton and John Kerry, both of whom went on to be nominated as candidates for president. The idea that Krauthammer had such pull to influence all of Congress and the White House to send troops to Iraq is flattering, but totally inaccurate. This was a good footnote to his life, not his sole legacy, as the Post seems to believe. His true legacy should be one of purposeful thought from a conservative worldview and personal class that allowed him to live his life with surprising dignity. "If I can just muddle through life," he said, "they'll say it was a great achievement." He said this while reflecting on the diving accident that kept him from ever walking again. "That would be the greatest defeat in my life if I allowed that," he continued. I decided if I could make people judge me by the old standard, that would be a triumph, and that's what I try to do. It seems to me the only way to live." Dedicating himself to pursuits of the mind, there is no doubt that Krauthammer indeed triumphed after being dealt a hand that could have crippled not only his body, but also his spirit. "I believe that the spirit, the pursuit of truth and right ideas through dishonest debate and rigorous argument is a noble undertaking," he wrote after being told he had terminal cancer just a few weeks ago. "I am grateful to have played a small role in the conversations that have helped guide this extraordinary nation's destiny. I leave this life with no regrets." To me, folks, that is class, real class. Something you rarely see in people these days. Conspiracy theorists and conspiracy factists are running wild, as infamously outspoken former Secret Service agent Gary Byrne has filed a racketeer influence and corrupt organizations or RICO suit against what some call the Democratic Deep State. Defendants in the case include the Clinton Foundation, Clinton Guistra Enterprise Partnership, Media Matters for America, Correct the Record, American Bridge 21st Century, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, ShareBlue, David Brock, William Jefferson Clinton, Hillary Rodham Clinton, George Soros, John Podesta, Jonathan Wackrow, Jan Gillilee, and Clinton Global Initiative. That's quite a rogues gallery. Here's the summary of Byrne's case. For the past decade, in which relevant predicate acts were corruptly carried out by the named defendants as payback for plaintiff Gary Byrne's role in the Clinton impeachment and his status as a Clinton enemy, for his temerity in telling the truth concerning obstruction of justice and gross abuse of power, along with their corrupt surrogates and collaborators referenced individually and collectively as the Enterprise, David Brock and William and Hillary Clinton have been synonymous with criminal behavior, malicious, baseless attacks, usually using mainly the illicit and vicious inflammatory tactics against perceived political enemies like Officer Gary Byrne, the plaintiff here, of those willing to compensate participants like Brock, and coordinating by mail and wire to violate a myriad of federal and state laws in the exploitation of enterprise nonprofit entities they use for purely partisan purposes. This enterprise has taken such attacks to an unprecedented and chilling new level involving illegal domestic human and electronic surveillance and tradecraft such as lures run at burn in order to obstruct the Hillary Clinton email and Clinton Foundation investigations by the agencies of the Obama government against all private citizens in order to assist Hillary Clinton to become the 45th president of the United States, destroy Gary Byrne, and enrich themselves. According to investigations of the United States Congress, and as anticipated to emerge from the numerous ongoing government investigations, Hillary Clinton and certain other enterprise named and unknown named and high-level surrogates colluded with Russian intelligence, SVR and SSB, and a disgraced and, according to a referral from the United States Senate Committee on the Judiciary, a punitive criminal former British intelligence officer, Christopher Steele, to accomplish their illicit and unconstitutional objectives. These enterprise defendants, surrogates, and participants have their opportunity to properly respond before a court they knowingly misled many times using the most powerful counterintelligence tools available. Let them do so now. The chat room is still open. Nobody's in there, but I will continue with this one. 10 years ago, Defendant Brock's malfeasance became more precisely organized in the enterprise and thus fully weaponized as he joined forces with former President William Jefferson Clinton, William Clinton or President Clinton, Hillary Rodham Clinton, and funder George Soros at the various stages of the illegal enterprise. The other defendants named here, they and the enterprise they formed to control the Democratic Party took illicit advantage of a previously inviolate structural arrangement between all three branches of our government, codified in the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, by arranging for payment through smear merchants, Fusion GPS, to the Russian SVR and FSB, and British former agent Christopher Steele, to abolish their enemies. In other words, the enterprise defendants were willing to defy all legal and constitutional dictates, including certain actors within the Obama Department of Justice, ineffably misleading Article 3 colleagues residents in this very court. This is sedition bordering on treason and patently illegal. For these things, I would dearly love to see all of them end up in prison. The rest of us would if that was against us. So why not them? And I've been asking this question for a long time. Why not them? They're not so freaking ass powerful. I'm not afraid of them. And people really shouldn't be afraid of them. With the exception of one thing, they get away with breaking the law, they get away with murdering people, they get away with getting rid of people who don't agree with them, and nothing happens to them. That is the only reason to be afraid of them. And that's where I'm going to end that one. Daily Mail came this one. One of my favorite groups back in the 60s, was the Monkees. I never missed any of their television shows. I never missed getting any of their records. I had them all. It was a sad day when Davey died, though he wasn't my favorite of the four. My favorite was always Mickey, and then Mike. Well, they are still around. And I've been planning and have been planning doing a thing called The Monkees Present The Mike and Mickey Show. Things weren't ever right for that until now. But this one was not the happy stuff that The Monkees Present Show always were. Those have been going on different incarnations for years now. When Peter left to go do something on his own, The Monkees Present with Mike and Mickey continued. Mickey saying that if there was to be a live monkey show happening, it was going to have to be up to him and Mike. Well, last week in Pennsylvania, the latest came when, practicing and getting their sound up, Mike collapsed on the stage. The Monkees' Michael Nesmith was hospitalized in Pennsylvania on Thursday after falling on the ground as the band conducted a sound check at the Keswick Theater in Glenside, Pennsylvania, where they were due to perform later that evening. The 75-year-old guitarist, according to TMZ, was still conscious and he was rushed to the local medical facility. A rep for the Houston, Texas native told the outlet that he was subsequently discharged from the hospital, though the cause of the incident has not yet been announced. Nesmith was slated to take the stage on The Monkees Present The Mike and Mickey Show tour Thursday with longtime bandmate Mickey Dolenz. Reps for the musician said that a trio of dates slated for New York and New Jersey area have been canceled amid Mike Nesmith's downturn in health, according to TMZ. The Monkees, consisting of Nesmith, Dolenz, Peter Tork, and the late Davy Jones, were one of the preeminent rock pop bands of the late 1960s, renowned for their catchy tunes such as the one I started this with, Last Train to Clarksville, I'm a Believer, and Daydream Believer. They've had comebacks and reunions through the years in the 80s, 90s, and this decade too. Nesmith told the Rolling Stone last month that the Monkees Present The Mike and Mickey Show tour was an organic idea that he and Dolenz had talked about through the years, but circumstances were never right. We even had this odd idea about doing the Mike and Mickey Show because we enjoyed playing together and singing together so much, he said. We just never had the big money support for it because it was all about the Monkees, so we'd just set up on some of the set furniture and sing songs while the crew set up lights. After Tork decided to step back after a 2016 tour to focus on other material, Nesmith said the door was open for he and Dolenz to give a dual tour a go. I realized that if there was going to be any more Monkees music played live, that Mickey and I were going to have to do it, he told the publication. From the old Mike and Mickey stuff, I felt there may be some creative fun to be had here. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that they are still out there doing stuff. I just wish they would come to Indiana once. Would love to see them in concert again before they're gone. We are working on trying. I had talked earlier about working on getting this show more up-to-date, more better sounding and stuff like that. I finally got my computers going to the point where I can actually do the things that I need to do while on this. And things actually are starting to turn around here. We've got a couple of people who have shown interest in joining CNM now. I won't bring up any names right at the moment, but there are at least two that have shown interest in joining CNM and becoming part of the family that CNM used to be. Hopefully we can get ourselves back to the point where we have a show every night of the week. And my show is not in cement here on Sunday. It's just the day that I took over after everyone left. And I'm thinking that, you know, if I start getting other people in and Sunday is wanted by somebody else, I will go back to my Saturdays that I used to have and put my show back on Saturday. But CNM is still working the way that it used to. We still have the things going that we used to have, they never actually ended. Like the advertisements that were there at that point in time. I've got some new ones out here now. And a couple that I have put in for things that I feel is important here. But we here at CNM are working hard to and striving to get more stuff out here for you people so that Sundays is not the only days that there will be a show on for Conservative Nation Media. I still look back on the time when Conservative Nation Media actually had a show on every night of the week at one point in time, and there was actually two shows on Sunday and two shows on Tuesday. Things were looking really good back then, and then something happened, and things just kind of fell apart, but the entity, CNM, stuck around. For a long time, I was the only one who did anything, and then I stopped for a while. And with what's going on now, I essentially, some months back, got a hold of the guy who had started CNM and told him that I was interested in getting this started back up again. And he let me know that he was not interested, that if I wanted CNM, it was my baby. I could do what I wanted with it. And with that came all of the stuff that was there before and there still, actually. And I am now working on trying to get CNM back up and going like it was before. I've been talking with Duke Brooks, who was one of the guys that was one of the main guys. I offered him to start his show up again, but he's doing a show on regular radio in Delaware right now. And I listen to his show every once in a while. He's still the same old Duke that he was before when he had his show that was on Wednesday nights here. I've talked with Bing Fisher, who is head American by Design. I've been talking with Kathy Hinners, though I think that she's just way too busy to even think about coming in right now. I'm trying to get her to record me. I was going to try and get her to record a new entrance for me, but I found that the one that she did for me for second hour is good, and I don't have to have it redone. I've got to get the one for the first hour redone, and I'm trying to get Douglas B. Gibbs to do that one for me. Hopefully he'll be able to get that one done before too long, and I can start using it and stop using the one that talks about us being part of the traditional American Patriot Network, which I'm not with anymore. I don't want to do a new one and do it myself, because that was something that Duke said was not professional, me doing my own entrance to my show. But we are right now at the end of the hour, or the end of the half hour, and so I will be back in a few moments after these messages, and see you in a few.
We will be right back after these important messages.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who thought who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with precision and cutthroat accuracy. Now, years later,
okay, that's interesting. I am not exactly sure what's going on there. It just stopped.
The police department.
There it goes.
The job that gets Matt on the case is one that brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it right smack dab in the middle of the present, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Roof Butte not only holds mystery, but a cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt is the one who has been hired to find out what is going on there and without becoming part of the nasty plan going on in the area. Night Owls is the first in a new series of mysteries with Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.createspace.com/486-9187. That's www.createspace.com/486-9187. It is also available in digital form and on Amazon too. That's Night Owls, a Matt Joseph mystery by Robert P. Garding. Buy it, read it, enjoy the reading experience again. Order Night Owls today.
Okay.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and Ad Council.
I had some stuff that was part of this show that was going to be on the show, and there was one thing when it came to that IG report that came out that I felt is still relevant, and so I left it in the article in the script for today's show because I wanted to make sure that. You know, this is stuff that needs to get out because most people get their news from one source and one source only, and that's the liberal, lamestream, lying media. They don't search around like I do. I listen to CNN with disdain mostly, but I listen to CNN, see what they're saying. And then I'll go to Fox, I'll go to Newsmax.com or Newsmax TV. I will go to Breitbart, I will go to Conservative Tribune, I will go to Political Pistachio. I go to a lot of places. I get my news and I make sure that what I'm getting is correct. But this thing... this article that I had found about Peter Strotz and the other person, I can't find their name right off the bat, but it's mentioned in this story. But it says, not only is the IG report rife with evidence of outrageous political bias and actions based on that, but it also reveals evidence that warrants independent counsel to conduct a thorough criminal investigation of everyone involved in the farcical Clinton email investigation at the Department of Justice and the FBI for their conspiracy and obstruction of justice. And it amazes me that we are all held to the letter of the law with the threat of prison time added to our lives, but they in Washington can do what the hell they want and nothing ever happens. Peter Strzok clearly intended to stop Mr. Trump from becoming president. On page 404 of the report, the IG reports August 8, 2016, in a text message on August 8, 2016, Page stated, Trump's not ever going to become president, right? Right? Strzok responded, no, he's not. We'll stop it. This is hugely important. It's a hugely important response and was not revealed to Congress until they received the Inspector General's report on June 14th. Why? They've been asking for all of these text messages for months. For the answer, you must read the footnote on page 404, which says, although we received Page's August 8th text message to Strzok from the FBI as part of its production of text messages in 2017, Strzok's response to Page was not among those preserved by the FBI's text message preservation software and therefore was not produced to us. The OIG's Cyber Investigations Office recovered this text message along with others on May of 2018 through forensics analysis of a folder found on Page's and Strzok's Samsung S5 devices. Now, if it's true, that may be because Lisa Page and Peter Strzok quickly deleted it from their phones. That deletion could be evidence of knowledge and intent. If it is not true, then someone at the FBI tampered with production of evidence to the Inspector General and to Congress. Why didn't the FBI, which is supposed to be the best law enforcement operation in the world, find the message itself? Who is covering for whom? And if the FBI had it and didn't produce it, that is also obstruction of justice now, isn't it? It is painfully apparent that we cannot trust the Department of Justice or the FBI to investigate themselves. As much as I dislike the idea of any special counsel, we either need a substantial hosing out of both agencies or a special counsel appointed to conduct a thorough criminal investigation of both. And it won't be by using consent agreements and handing out immunity like Halloween candy, Clinton style. The criminal activities in Washington have to stop, and our president is doing what he can to stop it, but he is just one man, and it seems the whole establishment in Washington is against him, which means, folks, they are against us too. How long are we going to take that? That, to me, is a very, very good question that deserves an answer, really. From Breitbart comes this one. Voters should insist that Congress provide taxpayer-funded lawyers to all child migrants who arrive at the border without parents, says the New York Slimes editorial board. And they said this last week. This was another thing I had on the script for last week, but wasn't able to push it. And this is something that still needs to be gotten out because it seems like so many people out here still don't know what's going on the border. And everything they're getting is from the lying, lamestream media, who constantly says it's all Trump's fault when it's not. The child migrant should get, according to this thing in the New York Slimes, the child migrant should get free lawyers to endure that 75% of them win a green card, says the board. Without lawyers, youth seeking asylum win roughly 15% of their cases, according to the editorial. The Trump administration has the opportunity to do the right thing here. If you want to help sway it to do so, here are some concrete steps to take. The proposed Dayfare in Court for Kids Act would require the government to appoint counsel to unaccompanied children, and it's important to ask Congress to support its passages. Really? The Fair Day in Court for Kids Act was drafted by Hawaii's Democratic Senator Mazie Hirono and is backed by 14 other Democratic senators. Of course it is. That's exactly what they want. They want to defeat any conservatism, any right-minded stuff in our government. The New York Slimes Board does not say how many ambitious parents in South America, Africa, and Asia will present their children, including teenagers. If the children use the lawyers to win residency or asylum, they can also get green cards for their parents and siblings via chain migration laws. See how this works, folks? Whether we want them or not, whether they deserve to be here or not, the liberal left is doing their damnedest to make sure they end up here. See what they're doing? The call for taxpayer-funded migration mitigation is part of an editorial slamming President Trump's new policy of sheltering children while their illegal migrant parents, or actually illegal foreign nationals is what they should be called, are prosecuted for crossing the border illegally. They, the NYS's editorial board, is appalled at Trump anti-migration policy or obsession with undocumented immigrants, and it declares it may be hard to believe that this is happening in the United States in 2018, that hundreds of children are being snatched from their parents, frequently under false pretenses, often screaming, and placed in vast warehouse-like centers like the former Walmart in Brownsville, Texas, where nearly 1,500 boys now spend their days. The heartlessness of that is mind-boggling. It seems to elude the administration and its cheerleaders that this is not about crime or security, but it's about the most elemental human values, that ordering armed border guards to cruelly and needlessly rip children from their mothers, in one case while she was breastfeeding the child, according to the media, goes against fundamental American values and undercuts its standing in the world. The thing that is undercutting the standing of America in the world is idiots like the editorial staff at the New York Slimes, who can't seem to get it through their heads that the kids are the victims of bad parents who will not follow laws and proceed to take their children into dangerous areas and deserve to lose their kids. At least the kids are being taken care of. We could be just totally inhumane and just send them back to the country where they came from. I'm not saying that the kids are at fault, but I am saying the parents are. I am so glad that I had parents who taught me right from wrong and then proceeded to live a life where they practiced what they taught. That is something that many today do not have, parents who are teaching right from wrong.
We will be right back after these important messages.
Okay, Sarah, I'm dropping you at Emily's, and Josh, you're going to soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, when I pick you up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What?
No!
Yep, me and my short shorts doing my daddy dance. Your friends will love it.
No!
Well, I might change my mind if you buckle your seatbelts.
Okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Whatever it takes, keep them safe. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
Detroit down to Houston. And
Are you one of those people that the left likes to label as a dumb hayseed hick who believes in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and freedom? Do you value your guns? Are you a traditional American patriot who is not afraid to voice your support for America? Do you wish that you had a way to get that patriotic message out? Do you dream of the day you can? Well, that day is at hand because Conservative Nation Media is looking for just such a person. Be a radio host for your very own patriotic venue to get your voice out on CNM. Choose your day and time, and presto, the left will go crazy because more of the truth they want hidden will get out. So do your part. Email us at conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com to get started informing patriots like you who want their government to know that we know what is going on. That's conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com. Then you can let the world know we will not be ruled. Back, and if you want to join us on the show today, the call-in number is 646-478-5284, and we are monitoring our chat room. There's nobody in there right now, but I kind of had a feeling that maybe I might not have anybody who will hear the show or come into the chat room today, because I have been gone the past week or two, and that's usually all it takes is from that point, I have to start building back up again, which I'm going to be doing. Like I said, I'm working on getting a new phone company in here so that I can start being able to do my show through my phone like I did before. And it would probably sound better and probably wouldn't break up like it's probably doing right now. But that's neither here nor there. I'm doing my best to get this back up again. President Trump is doing what he said he would when he campaigned for office, and that used to mean that both parties would tolerate him and help him. But in today's America, the Democrats will only help a president if he is one of theirs, and if he is one of theirs, then they expect the Republicans to sit back and let him do what he must and let them do what they want to help him. And usually anymore, that's to help destroy the Constitution and everything else. But it is a one-way street that the Democrats always seem to get away with. And when they don't, it's because those evil conservatives or the Republicans that aren't able to help America with their agenda. But President Trump is definitely not one of theirs. Maxine Waters always screams for impeachment, and I've got a story on her later on in the show, and she's still screaming for impeachment, the stupid witch. But others on the left do too. And even though the main part of the Democrat Party is now saying it will hurt them to continue down that road, are they even listening to their own party? No. So what can be done now? I have the answer for that one. And I have been hinting at it for a while now, though, because this show doesn't have the listenership that a Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity does, it still needs to be said. America now has a president who is trying his best to make America great again. And Americans respected worldwide again, even though there are a lot in Washington who are supposed to be there to represent this nation, are not there to represent this nation, but instead to do this. They will instead do their best to tear this nation down in the eyes of the world while raking in the money that being a representative of this nation gives them. The best thing to do, folks, and this has proved to be harder than saying, is to get rid of everyone in Washington and all around this nation who feel that America is at fault for all the world's ills, because it is not. We need to get rid of all those so-called representatives who will go to the other countries all over the world and talk down America to them. It is like Reagan once said, America is the shining beacon on the hill that beckons to all to come to our shores. Which brings me to another question. If America was such a damned horrible place to be, as people like Pelosi and Waters and others in our government say, then why, oh, why do we have illegals risking their lives and the lives of their children just to get here? Why do we have so many who want to get here so badly that they will become criminals just to do that? Maybe, just maybe, all these naysayers in Washington and across this great nation of ours is wrong. America is a great and shining beacon on the hill, as Reagan once said. Maybe they know that, and America is a great place to be. Maybe, just maybe, we the American people are starting to realize that once America is gone, there will be no other place on earth to find liberty, because there won't be. And sadly, folks, if we don't get rid of the morons in Washington and across this nation who supposedly represent us but don't, this nation is going to keep heading downhill and at breakneck speeds. We are seeing our freedoms eroding almost daily now. Isn't it time to put a stop to this and help Donald Trump make America great again? Isn't it? Is a great America such a bad thing to be? Sure. We were arrogant to almost to a fault here, but came to people all over the world, even our enemies who needed help because of a disaster, who was it that turned out there and helped them? It wasn't China, it wasn't Russia, it wasn't Beijing, it wasn't Japan. Well, I don't know. Japan's now an ally. They might have helped after all. But it was America. And even our enemies turned to us and said, please help us. We need help. And then as soon as we helped them, we were the great Satan of the world again. I, for one, do not think that America is such a bad place, bad thing to be, the great America. I was raised in a time when stuff that made America great was still being taught in schools. I know the Constitution and have read the Declaration of Independence many times. I've been doing this show since about the 8th month of 2006, and I've had my blog since about then. I've been watching what is going on, and this American does not like the way the media, the Democrats, and the Hollywood elite are treating our president and the rest of us. It's time to put a stop to all of this. And folks, the pocketbook is the way to do it. Need I say more about about that one? Because we all know what it means. Hollywood seems to think, you know, like Robert De Niro, who at one point in time was a great actor. But now he's just turned into a stupid, blithering idiot who just has to talk against Trump every chance he gets. Thing to do would be, when he puts out a new movie, don't go and see it. Hurt him in the pocketbook like he needs to be. We don't need to be hearing his bull crap about what he thinks about Trump. When we go to see his movies, we go to see his acting and the portrayals that he's giving, not to hear what he thinks of President Trump. It's a sad state of affairs when we have politicians who won't do their job. We have people in Hollywood who are supposedly actors, but they won't do their job because they're too busy trashing the president. We have NFL players who will kneel when the national anthem is played instead of standing up in reverence to the men and women who fought and died to give them the freedoms to do what they stupidly do. They need to start standing for the national anthem. If not for the country, then for the men and women who died to give them that freedom. That is the reason they need to stand. But everything seems to be continuing on down this road to oblivion that the liberal left has got us on. And we keep screwing around, doing the things that we do without paying any mind to what is going on. And the things that happen in this nation lately are really an eyesore to this nation when it comes to the world. We are coming up on the top of the hour, and I've got some ads that I need to play, and then the NWCR's Hour 2 with Kathy Hinners. I will play that, and I will be right back after these messages.
We will be right back after these important messages.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
It feels like you're frozen. Petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert, who are not afraid of the wrath of the left when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda for us. From the crossroads of America comes the second hour of the show.
We are back with the second hour of the show, although this will only be a half an hour part, but that's okay. Probably within the next 2 weeks or so, we are going to be going back to the two-hour show, and we will be back for 2 hours either next week or the week after. I'm not really sure which one it's going to be, but we have got that in the works right now. Arizona ranchers have issued a cordial invitation to House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, to come down to Arizona border and see, and quote, see where the dope and the bad guys are coming in, unquote. In a short video presentation, John Ladd, Fred Davis, and Chris Burgard point out how insecure the southern border is and offer Ms. Pelosi a very hospitable invitation to come down and view it for herself. She went to Texas to see the kids, so come here and see where the dope and the bad guys are coming through the border, said rancher John Ladd. Arizona is insecure, added farmer Fred Davis. Half the drugs, half the people are smuggled in the Tucson sector. Come see why your $2 million a mile fence is trash. And I got the audio for that.
I would tell you that I think that there's been 2 million people come across this ranch in the last 24 years. I want to invite Nancy Pelosi down. She went to Texas to see the kids, so come here, see where the dope and the bad guys are coming through the border.
Arizona's is insecure. Half of the drugs, half of the people are smuggled in the Tucson sector. Come see why your $2 million a mile fence is trash.
And we will send a plane for you. We'll make arrangements. You can stay at our house. It's an invite from, it's sincere. Come look at it.
We've been doing this for over 9 years. Anybody that tells you this southern border is secure is full of crap.
And that's the, you know, and Pelosi probably won't even acknowledge this invitation, because she knows better. She knows that her $2 million a mile fence is trash. She knows that there's a people coming over the border that shouldn't be coming over the border. And then the ranchers even said they would send a plane for Pelosi and even put her up at their house. And Chris Burgard added that we've been doing this for over 9 years. Anybody that tells you this southern border is secure is full of crap. The men are seen standing in areas of fencing along the edge of their property that is held together with barbed wire only a few feet off the ground. However, this was not the first time the men spoke out, and while they find it refreshing to hear some of Donald Trump, President Donald Trump's statements, they are not sure that a wall will solve the problem. In their opinion, it works similar to criminals obtaining guns. In other words, you can put up all the deterrence you want, but someone intent on violating the law will find a way to do that. And that is exactly it. I've been saying this for years now, but of course nobody listens to me, but hey, what can I say? Our chat room is still open. Nobody's there, but I kind of expected that today. This show will most likely be heard in the archives by most everybody who will hear it, because I don't know if anybody's out there right now. If they are, I have no way of knowing it, but sooner, probably in a couple of days after all the stuff comes up about this show and the statistics of it, it will show if anybody saw it during the live portion, or it will definitely show who will see it from then on. Earlier this week, Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her party were booted out of a restaurant because the owner didn't like the fact that she worked with President Trump. That is something that I think that Sanders handled rather well as they left. But where the problem came in, and I don't see a problem with this either, is that she tweeted that she had been booted out of the restaurant on Twitter. Now, it's like I said, I have no problem with that, but former President Obama's ethics director, Walter Schaub, does. From BizPak Review comes this little gem of total stupidity. Walter Schaub, the former ethics director under Barack Obama, comically accused the White House press secretary, Sarah Sanders, of violating ethics laws when she revealed that she had been kicked out of a restaurant because she works for the President of the United States. Now, it was said here comically, though when it came to this bozo, it wasn't meant comically. He was deadly serious, but I digress here. Schaub sanctimoniously tried to score virtual signaling points by tweeting, "Sarah, I know you don't care even a tiny bit about the ethics rules, but using your official account for this is a clear violation of 5 CFR 2635.702A. Really? Are we to that one now? Schaub was responding to Sanders' tweets where she said, "Last night I was told by the owner of Red Hen in Lexington, Virginia, to leave because I work for President Trump, and I politely left." I think, actually, the fact that she politely left is what made Schaub mad. But Schaub claims Sanders violated 5 CFR 2635.702A, an ethics rule called use of public office for private gain, that bans federal employees from using their positions for private gain, usually financially. Getting booted out of a restaurant and saying something about it is now private gain? How is that, Schaub? Explain that to me. Her tweeting that she was told by the owner of the Red Hen to leave was gain for her financially, ethically? How do you mean it, Schaub? Is this the same way you is? Is it in some way that you made up? Sanders gained nothing financially from being callously kicked out of a Red Hen restaurant, so Schaub's accusation is absurd. The incident would have been publicized anyway, in the same way that DHS Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen's harassment at a Mexican restaurant made headlines. Sanders merely beat the media to the punch by disclosing the facts, which no one disputes. And here's the exact wording of 5 CFR 2635.702, so there's no confusion. An employee may not use his public office for his own private gain or for that of persons or organizations with which he is associated personally. An employee's position or title should not be used to coerce, to endorse any product, service, or enterprise, or give the appearance of governmental sanction. Huh. I don't see it. Sarah Sanders gained nothing from being kicked out of an obscure restaurant, nor did she condemn Red Hen. She merely stated the facts. Moreover, the restaurant's liberal owner, Stephanie Wilkinson, did not deny that Sanders left politely. If anything, Red Hen got world press coverage and gained thousands of Twitter followers. When the incident first occurred, Red Hen's Twitter account, which had been inactive since 2014, had less than 300 followers. Now it has more than 17,800. Who benefited from this? It wasn't Sarah Sanders, that's for damn sure. Walter Schaub trashed Sanders even though she was the victim of discrimination. Meanwhile, he said nothing when his former boss, Barack Obama, separated children from their illegal alien parents for 8 years, ignoring reports that his administration beat and starved them. This latest incident spotlights how Trump derangement syndrome is causing liberals to make mountains out of molehills in order to attack President Trump and his aides. Stephanie Wilkinson, the owner of Red Hen, told the Washington Post that she stands by her decision to throw a paying customer out of a restaurant because they're a Trump supporter, and she'd do it again. Absolutely. Yes, I would have done the same thing again. We just felt there are moments when, in time when people need to live by their convictions. This appeared to be one, unquote. Stephanie Wilkinson is the owner of the Red Hen restaurant in Lexington, Virginia. And if you are a conservative and support Trump, then I would say, don't ever go to her restaurant. She will either kick you out or spit in your food. There are plenty of other better places to go to eat, like maybe McDonald's. According to her LinkedIn profile, Wilkinson is also the founder and publisher of Brainchild Magazine and co-owner of House Mountain Yarn Company, two other entities that probably hold the same unethical policies too. According to its website, Brainchild's mission statement is, quote, "The magazine strives to bring together the many values, many voices of women from different backgrounds, circumstances, and experiences in a way that provides other real issues," unquote. While Sanders did not condemn Red Hen, her social media served up a heaping serving of karma by clapping back at the discriminatory restaurant. Attorney Will Chamberlain quipped from 4.5 stars to 2.5 stars in a matter of hours. Neon Taster remarked sarcastically, "I'm sure that if some restaurant asked the Obamas to leave on ideological grounds, everyone would be fine with it, and zero people would call it racist and even invoke Jim Crow." Daily Wire reporter Ryan Saavedra pointed out that liberals are again advocating more fiercely on behalf of illegals than supporting suicidal homeless U.S. military veterans. You know, the people who risk their lives to ensure leftists' right to protest against America in the first place. Saavedra tweeted, "More hard-earned American tax dollars going to people whose first act towards America is to commit a crime. Meanwhile, over a dozen vets commit suicide a day and approximately 120 Americans die a day from opioids." Reminder, all this manufactured outrage over illegals started with a fake news story about a little Honduran girl who was kidnapped by her own mom and smuggled into U.S. in violation of federal laws. Okay. to federal laws. Now I'm trying to find where the heck I was because I lost it there. Okay, there I am. Friday, the White House did what it should have done before announcing the zero tolerance policy on the border. President Trump held a meeting with the group called Angels Families. They are the families of people who have been killed, mostly murdered by illegal aliens, and they represent a living reminder of why we should be rigorously enforcing our immigration laws while the media is obsessed with stories of illegals who are being deported after living for years in the U.S., often with the benefit of identity theft. They have been stone silent on the damage done by illegals. There have been claims that illegals are no more prone to crime than any other group, but the fact that illegals compromise about a fourth of the inmates in custody in the Federal Bureau of Prisons says that is not true. As I posted a few weeks ago, the notion being pushed by many on the left that the MS-13 is an imaginary bogeyman created by white nativists is lunacy. President Trump on Friday blasted what he described as a media double standard on immigration as he honored families whose loved ones were killed by illegal immigrants and accused the press of ignoring them to focus on the plight of migrants caught crossing the border. After a week of saturation coverage on illegal immigration, parents separated from their children, a policy Trump reversed under public and political pressure, the president stressed that so-called angel families have been permanently separated. The families whose children and other relatives were killed by illegal immigrants echoed that message during the White House event. "You don't hear these stories," said Steve Ronenbach, whose 21-year-old son Grant was killed by an illegal immigrant over a pack of cigarettes. "But this is a permanent separation." The family members joined Trump and Vice President Pence at the event Friday, holding photos of their departed loved ones. "These are the American citizens permanently separated from their loved ones. The word you have to think about is permanently," Trump said Friday, "because they were killed by illegal immigrants. These are the families that the media ignores. This is a very unfair situation." And I have that audio on this one.
"We're gathered today to hear directly from the American victims of illegal immigration. You know, you hear the other side, you never hear this side. You don't know what's going on. These are the American citizens permanently separated from their loved ones." The word "permanently" being the word that you have to think about. Permanently. They're not separated for a day or 2 days. They are permanently separated because they were killed by criminal illegal aliens. These are the families the media ignores. They don't talk about them. Very unfair. We have to look at everybody, but this is a very unfair situation. And I knew that years ago when we would be together out campaigning. And I said, if this ever happens, we're never forgetting you. You know that, Laura, everybody. And they're dedicated. These are the stories that Democrats and people that are weak on immigration, they don't want to discuss, they don't want to hear, they don't want to see, they don't want to talk about. No major network sent cameras to their homes or display the images of their incredible loved ones across the nightly news. They don't do that. They don't talk about the death and destruction caused by people that shouldn't be here, people that will continuously get into trouble and do bad things. For years, their pain was met with silence. Their plight was met with indifference, but no more. I told them 3 years ago when we were together, day one, just about day one, I would say, I said, "I hear you, I see you, and I will never let you down." And we've been working together, and their loved ones have not died in vain. We all know that. We call these brave Americans the angel families, angel moms, angel pops. These are the angel families. Your loss will not have been in vain. We will secure our borders, and we will make sure that they're properly taken care of. Eventually, the word will get out. We've got to have a safe country.
Yep. Folks, we have to start realizing here that is what is going on at the border. Now, as a result of years of laws not being followed by the federal government when it comes to coming into this country, and this has to stop. Finally, laws are being followed, and the liberals are raising hell about it. Give me a freaking break. Too many American families have been permanently separated because of illegals that the Democrats want here to let this continue. And that is essentially it.
They say that car crashes happen in slow motion. The reality is that crashes happen fast. There's no time to think and no time to check if your child is in the right car seat. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your kids in the right seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Get more info at safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. But I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure.
Tomorrow?
Let's check with Mom. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak. Just make sure you have everything.
Yep. Can we walk home?
How about a taxi? 233 North Maple, please.
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Also, find fun activities to do like boating and biking or camping and hiking, plus much more. It's all right in your naturehood.
Best day ever.
A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo, smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby, I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
From Conservative Tribune comes this one of another liberal in government who refuses to help patriotic Americans. Why do we keep these American haters in office? I don't understand. If our vets are important to you, you will never vote for one again. Kamala Harris refused to help disabled Iraq war vet after illegal immigrants ruined his life. And that was the headline, folks. Then California Attorney General Kamala Harris didn't take action against illegal immigrants who stole the identity of a disabled Iraq war veteran when he asked for her help, according to a 2013 letter. James DiNapoli told the Daily Caller News Foundation that his father sold his Social Security information to illegal immigrants when he was 17, and his life has been in limbo ever since. The amount of trauma that this has caused me has been overwhelming. It's just destroyed my life, DiNapoli said. Illegal immigrants in California allegedly used DiNapoli's Social Security number to work illegally in the U.S., generating fraudulent income on his federal student aids record. As a result, DiNapoli owed thousands of dollars in tuition and was forced to take a leave of absence from Colorado Christian University. Colorado Republican Representative Doug Lamborn's office in 2012 attempted to address DiNapoli's student loan default, but the Department of Education did not take further action when lobbied by the office, Foley said. He was homeless from 2012 to 2013, during which he was subject to countless audits from the California Franchise Tax Board due to illegal immigrants using his Social Security number in the states. When DiNapoli, home state of Colorado, asked California to take action against the illegals using his identification in 2013, the California Department of Justice, under the leadership of Harris, said it was up to local law enforcement. Really? Local law enforcement authorities are responsible for investigating violations of law within their jurisdictions, a November 2013 letter on behalf of Harris stated. Furthermore, we suggest that you consult with a private attorney. Nobody in the media wants to hear about a story which contradicts the false narratives that they are pushing to satisfy a questionable agenda, he told the Daily Caller News Foundation. When DiNapoli has since obtained a new Social Security number, he remains in an identification limbo, unable to obtain the necessary credit to move where he can find meaningful employment. DiNapoli served in the U.S. Air Force from 1990 to 1993, the Colorado Army National Guard from 2000 to 2003, and the U.S. Army from 2003 to 2006. Kamala Harris was the Attorney General of California from January of 2011 to 2017 in January. Since being elected to Congress, Harris has been a staunch opponent of prosecuting people for crossing the borders illegally. As California's Attorney General, she says, I know what a crime looks like. And this is what she tweeted in February of 2017. Let me tell you that an undocumented immigrant is not a criminal. Unquote. Really? First off, they are really illegal foreign nationals who broke into our country illegally, Miss Harris. That makes them criminals, period. And I and everyone else knows this, and we have never been attorney generals, you moron. But it seems that we know more about what crime looks like than you do. Harris's office and California Attorney General's office and Lamborn's office did not respond to multiple requests for comment from the Daily News Caller News Foundation. Why? Because they know they're wrong. Period. And we have come to the end of the show. And I still had quite a bit more left. I probably would have been able to thank all of you who listened to the show today and those who will listen to the show in the archives, because I know there will be some there. I will be back next week, same time, same network, same channel. And until next week, my friends, remember, as a friend of mine used to say, we will not be ruled. Have a great week, my friends, and I'll see you next week. Also, folks, be sure to note that B&M is still around and plan to grow. bless you all.